grass, ganja, joint, doobie, doo, chronic, ace, lobo, loco, loveboat, bud, buddha, blunt, pot, pat, pin, chiba, chiba, 420, and hashish, or hash for short. It's all marijuana.
This is Marijuana Media.
Come in.
Chris Fowley, welcome to the BFM Studios.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
Very well.
This
Very
weather,
well.
This weather
not
is,
sweating.
Oh, you're not sweating one bit?
No.
You're ice cold?
Air-conditioned delivery. That's what I like. So it's all on anyway with the big news of the week. Just cutting to the chase.
Get right into it.
And that is that we had a big announcement over the weekend from Andrew Little about the referendum. More detail than we've ever known before.
Ooh.
Okay.
But it is, again, loyal listeners will know, we do regularly bring people up to date. And so what the government are floating, these latest ideas, are very much in line with the kinds of things that people have been talking about and we've been talking about. And that's that the referendum will be a full legalisation referendum. It's not just about personal use. It's about creating a regulated market. Everyone seems to have come around to that and agreed to it, even New Zealand First.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So now it's like, well, what form does that take?
Wow.
Right? And so what we're going to have is a...
I've got chills a little bit. My hair's just stood up a little bit.
And a bill will go through Parliament. It'll be introduced this year. They're not explicitly saying that, but that's just common sense because of the timing. So you get the bill in there. The bill will then be triggered by the referendum results. So it'll already be known what we're talking about. And then... The development of that bill will be working out what the rules are, by and large.
Okay.
So they're kind of floating, well, yes, regulated market, or you know, a legal market in some form, but unregulated is a little bit like prohibition. If there's no rules, then you get kind of maximum harm. And if you think about harm as a graph with what the rules are, if the rules are not there at all, like prohibition, or, you know, super tight or whatever, then you get lots of harm, lots of crime, violence, contaminated drugs, all that sort of thing. If you have no rules at all around a legal market, then you also have lots of harm, because you have people just going for maximum dosages or putting out whatever or selling to whatever, or, you know, so that the sweet point is in the middle where you do have some sensible regulations. And a lot of people would argue that alcohol perhaps is a little bit too lax, and that might be some of the harm that we see associated with that. So the starting point they're kind of coming at is it'll be possibly a non-profit retail model. Now, this is kind of similar to the way that alcohol is done in liquor licensing trusts, like at West Auckland.
I'm confused. What's the non-profit part of the thing?
So the non-profit is that at the retail, whoever runs the retail is a non-profit, and whatever profits they make, they give back to the community as grants, a bit like people do with pokies or with, as I say, these liquor licensing trusts. So you would still have licensed producers growing cannabis for that retail.
And do they just... Would they charge themselves an hourly rate, an astronomical hourly rate? And then, how does that work?
Exactly. So that's when we look to West Auckland, there are those sorts of issues that go on. Mm. Where we managed to make a very low profit by spending on other things.
Right. Well, look at my company, Ferrari. What's up?
Yeah. And one of the interesting things about that model, and again, as listeners know, I actually ran for the Liquor Licensing Trust out of Waitakere, and I ran on that plank that the trust itself could run a large-scale research trial and as a non-profit and actually research distributing cannabis and returning any profits and that. I thought, wow, they're going to be right into it. I'm going to get in, no problem. It's West Auckland. Yay. You know, the area was PR even. No, people were very anti it because people who actually live under the licensing trust generally don't like them.
Okay.
And so they're popular with people who don't live there. They think, yeah, non-profit, back to the community, yay.
Sometimes the idea is a lot better than when you're actually living in the practice of the idea.
Yeah. And so Massey, in fact, we talked about this, I think, 2 weeks ago. Massey did a study looking at West Auckland, asking people who actually live there, not the rest of Auckland, but people who actually live under it. And they said, rank, you know, what your preferred model is. And the newspaper coverage is what we talked about. The newspaper headline said community non-profit number one preferred option. When you actually looked at the figures, it was the last option. It was only liked by 11%, and a full commercial market had like 24%. So, people who live there don't tend to like it. So anyway, what the compromise that Massey are floating, and I think this has actually got a lot of merit to it, is that yes, you run the retail as a non-profit, but you have lots of them. You allow actual like private enterprise to be a non-profit. Mm. So they're competing with each other still, so then you have variety and choice. It's one of the issues with West Auckland is you have less variety, less choice, higher prices. They're not really supplying what the consumer wants. They're just supplying what they're telling them they want.
Right.
you know. So if you have competition of multiple organisations doing it, then the consumer gets that variety and innovation.
Everyone's got to stay on
their
toes.
And they're all returning their profits to the community. People can still be involved as producers, whether that's craft scale, vineyard level, or multinational level, that they can all be involved in that, but the retail is run as a non-profit.
Is it not likely that there's just going to be heaps of places selling DAC at some point?
Sure. Well, that's all up to the rules, right?
Yeah.
And that's what they're floating at the moment is what should we have? Should we have location proximity type rules? Like, can you be a certain distance from schools? Or do you just whatever, you know, and kind of make it up case by case? So that is something we need to discuss. But you'd kind of, one of these things that you need to think about is if the rules are too tight, then you don't get the illegal market going legal. It stays illegal. And that's in fact what we've seen in Canada. What we've seen in California, which had a proper legal market come in a year ago. And
state, not federal.
Yeah, the state level. Yeah. And they were medical only. Now they're full adult and medical.
And there was kind of a big backlash there. Well, the FBI was just busting people, and all sorts of weird crap was going on for a while. It was a big old grey time for them, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was a while back. So when they did proper legalisation, like 2 years ago, it came into effect a year ago. Yeah. And anyway, what they've done is they've set the taxes so high, people who have gone legal are 77% higher in their prices. And so you're at an immediate disadvantage. So lots of consumers are just staying in the black market.
Yeah.
And
you'd still pop your head out if you really want some really nice stuff.
Total spending on legal cannabis dropped, and that's the first place ever to legalize cannabis and see the legal economy drop instead of grow.
Wow.
So that's a bit of a pointer that they got the regulatory settings wrong.
Just the tax that's getting worked on?
It was the taxes and the licenses and how difficult it is to get them.
What are we going to call these shops, Chris? Dispensaries?
Potentially. I don't know if that's such a big deal, but
I'm just curious.
Big Hungry's.
No, don't brand me just yet.
Hey, there's some synergy there, man. There's some good branding opportunities.
Yeah,
right on. Big Hungry's Smoke Shack. Now, I was just curious, do you think we'll see the liquor laws around alcohol tighten up if we see tighter rules around cannabis?
I mean, in an ideal world, probably, yeah, but I doubt it. I think they'll keep them pretty separate.
Okay, and surely, I mean, I'm quite attracted to the trust notion, just simply because, I've got this preconceived idea that more tax would be returning to the community.
Also, is you love just, pokies
is,
as well.
Is that like, am I kind of living in dreamland, assuming that more money would actually go back to the community?
If you look at pokies, sometimes it seems like there's a bit of rotting going on. But if the outcome is that you want things to go back to the community, you don't need to have a monopolistic liquor licensing trust kind of set up to do that. You can just put an excise tax on the cannabis, still have it collected by the government, but earmark that tax into going to the right places rather than just the general kitty.
Why not just do that?
Exactly. It'd be way easier. Then it fits within the existing tax system. There's no administrative burden and having to work all this stuff out. You just go, right, pay 40% tax and we're going to put that into schools and whatever, right?
That's the most simple thing to
You'd
do.
You'd think so, eh?
Why not?
Yeah.
Why would they
Maybe it'll happen now that we've said it.
Why would they steer away from that model?
Something why would they? Something It'd be mugs too.
Something to do with money, I'd say.
But, you know, because of this unpopularity of the liquor licensing trust among people who live there, I think the politicians are going to be a bit wary of that model because they'll know that people won't actually like it when it comes in, and then they'll get the backlash at the next election.
I'm guaranteeing someone from West Auckland is calling up right now. Hello, BFM.
G'day, how you going, guys?
Good.
Good. I think you'll find that the trust will expand to do it because the government can't be bothered administrating that kind of stuff.
So
they'll let the enterprise become effectively the local regulator. And that's an easy no-brainer for the government to run.
So they just handed
off.
What
I'm worried about, which will happen with it, rather than being a diversity of private enterprise contributing to a community pot of gold sort of thing, they'll just allow one big trust, like, for example, we've got out west at the moment, to become the regulator per se as well.
Maybe, but probably not the producer. They don't produce any alcohol. They just run actual outlets, and they don't do a particularly good job of that. So.
Yeah, but to regulate the distribution of the alcohol.
Sure.
As a no-brainer for the government.
Yep, I think that's a good one. And in fact, what Massey were proposing to get around the not liking this monopolistic thing is you just don't make it a monopoly. So you have multiple trusts that can compete rather than, I say, out west, it's a monopoly that just tells you what you like.
I mean, most of the alcohol you buy out there is anywhere from 20-30% more expensive than other places around Auckland.
Is that right? Far out. Okay. Sure.
Yep.
So people are having a laugh a bit.
Yeah, well, I live in Avondale, but work out in
John Hong picked Road. It. He picked Shout it. Out. That's it. You're John's neighbour. What's up?
Probably. But, you know, it's way cheaper to go to Pakenham and Mount Albert than it is to go to Liquorland in New Lynn.
Wait a minute. Do you drive an Audi by any chance? Did you pull the fingers at a little car? Okay, cool. No, it's not you. It's not you. Someone else.
No. They look like they went to the Olympics but missed out on a ring.
Hey, thanks for your call, mate. Appreciate it.
Cool. See ya.
Hey, we got down to the nitty gritty on this one,
yeah,
haven't
we? Right on.
Thanks so much, Chris.
That's a pleasure.
Do it, man.
That was Marijuana Media.